Ezekiel chapter 33, as we consider this passage this morning and pray that the Lord will just help us and bless us and might speak to us out of his word. Ezekiel chapter 33, Ezekiel 33 verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 1. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, to set him for their watchman. Verse 3, If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. And warn them from me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time, Lord, that you've made, that we can assemble ourselves together as your house, your church here, Lord, to worship you, to sing praises to your name, Lord, to open up your word and hear the message and the words that you have for us. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you in prayer and that you do hear, that you desire us to come to you in prayer and bring our petition before you. We pray, Father, at this time that you'd help us that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to lay aside the care and the distraction of life and all those things that beset our minds, Father. Help us to lay that all aside that we might focus upon you and your word and what you have for us today. Help us, Father, to hear you. Help us, Father, to believe you, Lord, to trust you in it and to follow you and pursue you in what you say. For those that are here this morning and not saved, Father, we pray that even this morning would be the time of their salvation. Lord, we know that you can save and that your arm's not short. We pray, Father, that you'd bring conviction upon them. And Lord, touch them with repentance and faith. Lord, they might come to you in it, Lord, and you save their souls. Help us now, we pray, and work amongst us, Father. Send your Holy Spirit and stir us up, we pray. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name for his sake. Amen. Here in verse number seven, the Lord tells Ezekiel, he says, So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. It's kind of a different way of saying things. And here the Lord comes to Ezekiel and he brings him this word. And he says, in summary, essentially, When I'm going to bring destruction because of the iniquity of the land, and there be a watchman set up, as it is with the people that occupy the land, the cities that would be there, they would set a watchman to watch out and look guard and take care over the city. That if the enemy would come in the night, the watchman can sound the alarm and say, get ready to fight, get ready to defend. And the Lord says here, and of course we understand that the time of Ezekiel is a time of transgression and disobedience for the children of Israel. And he says, Ezekiel, as it is with a people setting a watchman over a city, I have set you as a watchman over the people. And you are going to hear my word. And Ezekiel, when you deliver the word, if you deliver the word and the judgment, this thing come upon the people and they are taken in their sins. They'll be taken in their own iniquity because they didn't hear and they didn't obey. But I won't charge you with their blood. But Ezekiel, if I give you the word and you don't tell it to the people, then yes, they'll be caught up in their iniquity because of this judgment that I send. But I'll also require their blood upon your head. I've set you as a watchman. I've set you as a watchman. What's he say there? To warn them of me. At this point with Israel, the adversary is the Lord. Israel has given in to sin. Judah has given in to the way of the inhabitants of the land. And the Lord says, I am set as an adversary against them, and I have set you to preach to them. The question or the title of the message this morning, who is the watchman and what is the warning? Who is the watchman and what is the warning? Verse 1, and again the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, the Lord says, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land and blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet. He took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But if he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. He that heeds it, he that hears it, will deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, right? Because this judgment is coming of the Lord. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. Who is the watchman today? Who is it that is the watchman today? The Lord surely has promised judgment for sin, and the Lord stands against sin. Who are the watchmen? Well, we know it's easy and it's plainly obvious that the Lord's pastors are watchmen, are they not? The pastors of the Lord's churches, the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church that he has made and planted in many different places over the course of the centuries and millennia since he founded his church in that day of his ministry, the pastors are watchmen to tell the people of God, to warn the sinner of the Lord and to warn the Lord of them. We think about this thing. What is it that makes it that we are in trouble with God? Is it not our sin against him? And that's just it. Sin is against God. Transgression, the breaking of God's law, it's against God Almighty, our Creator. We have transgressed against him. Who is it that made a remedy for this? Who is it that made it such that sinners in transgression against their Creator, against God Almighty, can have a way of forgiveness? Well, it's been God, hadn't it? And yet he gave his Son on the cross of Calvary. He yielded his life a sacrifice for sinners like you and I. But yet men reject that, don't they? They reject the gospel. And yet again, in the Lord's provision, in his mercy, in his grace and love, he's provided a way that sinners can be reconciled to him. Yet men stand against the gospel of the Lord. Who are the watchmen? Who are the watchmen? Well, the Lord's pastors, the Lord's preachers, they are the watchmen to warn sinners of the Lord. Because what's it all going to be wrapped up at the end? This sin, this provision for forgiveness, to have salvation of the Lord, where's that going to all end up and be wrapped up? It's going to be wrapped up in front of God Almighty, in front of the Lord Jesus Christ as judge one day. See, our whole existence here, mankind's entire existence, is accountable to God Almighty. And you know what? We need to be warned of him. We need to be warned of him. Who are the watchmen? Well, the Lord's pastors. And then who else? Who else is the watchman? I submit to you today that it's the Lord's children. It's his people. We are the watchmen. We know by experience the Lord having visited us, saved our souls, forgiven us our sins, and made us joint heirs with Christ, made us His children, that having adopted us, we know about the goodness of God. Should we not warn others as we were warned? Amen. We were warned. The Lord visited us one day, sent your kin, sent your friend, sent somebody from the church to witness to you, to tell you about Jesus Christ, to tell you about your need, to tell you about your sin, to warn you about this coming judgment of God. Turn over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Take a look at a few verses here. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Here, this is how it is with the watchman, whether it be a pastor, whether it be the Lord's people. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The apostle says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which he worketh in me mightily. We are to warn. We are to warn. And in this passage in Ezekiel chapter 33, here in these first 9 verses, forms of the word warn occur 8 times. There's no other passage that uses that word warning or warn as it is with this passage. And we are to warn those that are away from Christ. We are to warn those that are disobedient to Christ. Turn over here to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Here the Apostle Peter, as a pastor, as an apostle, as dealing with the churches, this theme that runs through the epistles that he has written, he says here in this second epistle, in chapter 1 and verse number 12, wherefore I will not be negligent, I'm not going to be negligent to put you, people of God, churches of God, put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in this present truth. He says, my job is to remind you, to remind you, to remind you. In verse 13, yea, I think it meet or suitable, as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, to remind you of the word of the Lord, to remind you of the judgment that men face. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my death, my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Remember what God has said. Remember the warning of the Lord. Whether it be preaching that to sinners in need of salvation, that need warning of the pending judgment of God and the condemnation that lies squarely upon their head for their sin, or whether it's warning the saint, the child of God, to don't be disobedient. Don't sin against your Savior. In chapter 3 of this same book, 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, this was on the apostle's mind. And of course, the Lord has told him that he is going to die a death to be a witness of the Lord. He's told him that at the end of the Gospel of John, that he is going to be crucified. So Peter is using the time that God has given him to remind the people of God and to remind sinners about the things that the Lord has said. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, to warn, to warn, to warn about those things that God has said, about those things that the Lord has said. You know, let's take a look in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, take a look here. The Apostle Paul and the way that he preached here before Felix, or here in this testimony that he gives. And in Acts chapter 20, verse number 21, we see here testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, to all men, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, a warning that men need to repent, that men, women, boys, and girls need to believe God and believe and heed the command to come to him in repentance and faith. It's not a suggestion, it's a command that sinners need to repent, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Also in Acts in chapter 24, we see Paul here before Felix, and here as he's speaking to him, and Felix desiring some bribe or such as that, but the Apostle Paul uses this occasion to preach, to warn the man and his wife. In verse 24 of chapter 24, he says, "After certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." And what is that? "And as he reasoned of righteousness, that God is righteous and we are not, but yet righteousness is required." Righteousness is required by God, and we have no righteousness within our own. We need the righteousness of Christ imputed, applied to us, of temperance, of self-control, because sinners don't need to be sinning against God. It was a warning. "Reasoned of righteousness, of temperance, of self-control, because God is holy. And when we sin against him." Yes, there is an element and a fact that we can sin against one another. I can do you dirty and you can do me dirty. Yes, it is the case. And we may have a quarrel about it. We may get it worked out in that. But when we do something evil and wicked and sinful, we sin against our Creator. Mark it down. We sin against God. He preached of reason of righteousness, of temperance, and what? Judgment to come. He warned Felix of the Lord. He warned Felix of him. In the day and age in which we live, it is such as it is, it has always have been with man, but it seems to be manifested in our nation more and more. Turn to Luke chapter 12. There is no fear of God. There is no fear of the Lord. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord Jesus Christ here teaching and preaching, he says in verse number 4 of Luke 12, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell." The Lord Jesus Christ himself says, "Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Fear him. Reckon with him. Understand your position before him. Because see, the Lord has not taken something upon himself that doesn't belong to him. But he, after he has brought the life to an end, if he chooses, because of the things that he's ordained and the word that he's brought and the way of salvation that he's done, and he reckons with sin that way, he's just in everything he does. As mankind, made in the image and likeness of God, we like to take it upon ourselves that we have some say, some way, some position where we can debate with the Lord. But the Lord made that very plain to Job and his friends and the young man that was there. He asked them many times, "Where were you when I did this and this and this and this?" For another chapter. And Job said, "I'm just going to shut up. I'm going to just quit talking because I have nothing to say against God Almighty." There's no fear of God before the eyes of men. In Revelation chapter 19, take a look here. In Revelation chapter 19, no fear of God, and we should well fear him and reverence him and honor him. Because if mankind did fear him, if his children would fear him as we ought, we would seek and desire to obey him. And oh, may God help us to see that is there. Here in Revelation 19, verse 1, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying," "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him. Ye that fear him, both small and great." We need to fear the Lord. We need to fear the Lord. And we that have been saved, we fear not the Lord from the standpoint of that of a terror, of that of being such that we're going to be cast into hell and cast into the lake of fire to be destroyed forever. We've been saved from that. Oh, but as a father there that loves his children and cares for his children, he means what he says to us. And if he says it, it goes. It goes. And it's a pastor's job, it's the saint's job to warn the Lord, or warn folks of the Lord. And Psalms chapter 36, take a look here. Psalms 36. Oh, may God help us to see. May the Lord help us to see that we need to fear him. In Psalm 36, in verse number 1, it says, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." As he operates, as he walks, as he goes along in life, there's no consideration of fearing God, of reckoning God, of understanding that God will reckon with each and every one of us. No fear. We had, it was a logo that went about here some years ago, "No fear." Tell you what, there needs to be some fear of God. There needs to be some humbling before the Lord. There needs to be an understanding of fearing before him. As the watchman tells in Romans chapter 3, we take a look here also at another passage speaking about this lack of fear in Romans chapter 3, this quote of the book of Isaiah chapter 64, the apostle writes, verse 10, in Romans chapter 3, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all going out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. And it stinks and it's rotten. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." That's the reason they're rampant in their sin. That's the reason I was rampant in my sin before the Lord visited me. No fear of the Lord. The watchman is to warn men, women, boys, and girls. The pastors warning in the churches and warning sinners. The Lord's people, the Lord's children, warning those that are near to you, those that you can reach, as it is in the working of the world. And the membership of our church here at Olmsted Baptist Church, there are people that I will never be able to get to. I will never be able to reach, but you can. You can. And the Lord has placed you there to warn them of the judgment of God that's coming. And are they prepared? Are they prepared? In Acts chapter 20, the apostle speaks about this conviction that he has, this desire that he has, and this warning that he does as he's going and heading towards Jerusalem, I believe it is. And here in Acts chapter 20, and he's speaking here with some brethren that have met with him. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. I've been given a directive by my Savior to preach, to teach, to warn, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel, the grace of God," as we read in verse number 21 earlier, "testifying to all men repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 24 there at the end, "testify the gospel of the grace of God," the good news that salvation is in Him, the good news that there's a blessing in obeying the Lord. "And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all." I've warned them. The apostle says, "I have told them, I have warned them, I have told them about the goodness of the Lord. I have told them about the salvation in Christ. I have warned them that they may serve the Lord well as His children. I have warned them, and their blood will not be laid to my charge." You know what? I've got about a half a dozen men that their blood will be laid to my charge. I was there, and I could have said something. I could have talked to them. I could have presented to them Jesus Christ, and I did not. And you know what? They went ahead and died. They went ahead and died at 20 years old, at 30 years old, at 40 years old, at 50 years old, and at 70 years old. They died. And my opportunity with them is gone. May the Lord help us to see that we as the Lord's children, we as the Lord's pastors, we as the Lord's ministers and people, we are watchmen indeed. Back over in Ezekiel chapter 33. Verse number 8. "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand, Ezekiel." He's not talking about inviting him to church. He's talking to him about salvation through Jesus Christ. He's talking about telling him about Jesus and what He's done for you. Inviting folks to church is a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. We well should be doing it. But the warning comes by telling how the Lord has rescued you and me, how the Lord saved your soul, to make it personal, to show that it has an effect on you. If it hasn't touched you, if it hasn't changed you, why would anybody else want it? Verse 9, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Say it, tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it every opportunity that you get. Make opportunities to tell it, but tell it. Share it. Speak of it. And tell them about Jesus and His power to save. Therefore, thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak," he says, he tells them this, he says, "Ezekiel, tell this to them. Thus you say, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live?" Says Ezekiel, when they take up a position that it's too late, tell them, it's never too late with the Lord. If there's life, there's hope in Christ. Amen? If there's life, if your heart is beating and your blood is pumping and the Lord has given you right use of your mind, from our standpoint, there's hope. Tell them while there's hope. Don't let them be in the hospital about to die or in some vegetative state and have a regret about telling them. May God help me to see that. May the Lord help us. He says, there's hope with the Lord. Verse 11, the Lord says, The Lord says, y'all say, well, we're in our sins, it's too late, it's done, it's over with, we've gone too far down the road. The Lord says, say to them, Ezekiel, say to them, say to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked I have pleasure, though, and the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? The Lord does not have pleasure in the death of the wicked, in the rejection of his word by the wicked. He says, turn, turn, turn. You say it's too late? The Lord says, turn. Over in chapter 18, and the Lord says the same thing, and dealing with something along the same line, but in regards to a father and a son, that the son's sin will be his, that the father's sin will be his, that the father's righteousness will be his own, and his son's righteousness will be his own. And he says the same thing here in verse number 23 of chapter 18 of Ezekiel. Have I any pleasure, the Lord says, at all, that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? He has no pleasure in it. But if it be that the man reject him, the Lord will reckon sin. And as we saw Wednesday night, he will be most wrathful in it. Verse 31 of chapter 18. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. Where's there going to be a turning to? To the Lord? To the Lord, to his truth, to his way, to his salvation, to his Savior, to obedience. We're talking to those not saved and those that are saved. Turn. We need to turn to the Lord. Back in chapter 33. Back in chapter 33. Verse number 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? The Lord says here, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Contrast that with Psalms 116. Turn over here to Psalms 116. Contrast that. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Psalms 116. Read what it says here. Psalms 116, verse number 15. In Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 11, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but in Psalms 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What a contrast! Of great value, of great price is the death of the Lord's saints. That's what that word precious, like a precious gem, like a precious stone, like that of great value. When the Lord sees and reckons that the sinner that he has saved dies this body in this earth, on this earth and in this life, dies, and now it's done, that they are relieved from sin, they're relieved from the grip of this world, they're relieved from that, and now the preciousness that they can now come and be with him and experience him and rejoice in him and see his face. It's of great price when the child of God dies and faith is turned into sight. Oh, but the Lord says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He reckons it out and he metes out judgment. But the Lord does not enjoy it. He is furious at it. And with great wrath, as we saw in Revelation, he metes it out. In Micah chapter 7, let me read this to you. In Micah chapter 7, verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. God loves to mete out mercy. not giving that which we deserve. He loves to meet out. He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt pardon the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. The Lord doesn't let it slide, but because of repentance, when we repent and we say, yes, Lord, you're right, he loves to give mercy in that time. Repentance, turning. That's what repentance is talking about, turning from our wicked way, sin, self, the world, Satan, and all, and turning to what the Lord says is right. Yes, Lord, you're right. Yes, Lord, I need what you say. Yes, Lord, I live because of Jesus Christ. Back in Ezekiel 33, verse 12, therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Service of the Lord is day to day to day to day. What's it say? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. You don't trade yesterday for today with God. As the Lord's children, and the context here is the Lord speaking to the children of Israel, my service to the Lord, if it was good 5 years ago, means not a thing today. Means not a thing. I have to live faithful today. You must live faithful today. Tell you what, to hear about brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, or this good person or that good person having done this, that, and the other so many years ago, trying to trade it for today, it doesn't fly with God. It doesn't fly with God at all. That blessing, that thing that they may have done, that righteous service to the Lord, was good in that day. But the Lord is looking for them to stand today. Today. Today, the Lord says, if you will hear his voice. Today, if you will not harden your heart. If we will not harden our heart. Today we need to serve. Every day we need to serve to the ability, the strength, and the resource that God has given us. We can never trade on yesterday for today. I was a blessing to my church back then 5 years ago. What about today? I was a witness for the Lord back then 7 years ago. What about today? Today, because the Lord reckons today for today. Therefore, thou son of man, verse 12, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousnesses of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. What did the Lord tell the church at Corinth? You're not operating and behaving well. Some of you are sick and some of you have died. That's for children in his church. We need to be watchmen. We need to be faithful. Verse 14, again, when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that which he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Righteousness. Obedience, service, desire for the Lord today, today, now. Not from yesteryear, but today. Verse 17, Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. That's just not fair, we say. That's just not right. The way of the Lord is not equal, but as for them, their way is not equal, the Lord says. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you every one after his ways. The Lord is going to judge his people. The Lord is going to judge the people after his ways. Romans 14. Romans chapter 14. Here, the apostle speaking about judgment in Romans chapter 14, verse number 11, we read, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we will stand before the Lord, and he will judge according to his pleasure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Here, it's talking about we that are saved, we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account for today, for yesterday, and for tomorrow. We will stand there and give an account outright for it. And then those that are unsaved, in Revelation 20, I know you're familiar with it, let's read it. In Revelation 20, those that are unsaved, those that appear the great white throat judgment of the Lord. In verse number, in Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation 20, verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. What they did, what they didn't do. According to their righteousness, that is self-righteousness. It doesn't apply. It doesn't work. It does not relieve. They need the righteousness of Christ. All they have left is themselves, their way, and what they say they did. And compared against the Bible, it won't stand up. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. According to their works. The Lord says, Israel, people, a man is righteous and pursues righteousness all his life and then yet turns to iniquity, it'll cost him. You can't trade on the past. But yet the one that is delinquent and negligent and sinful and that one day says, yes, I'm repentant. I'm going to follow the Lord and trust him. It's counted for him for righteousness because it's all about obedience and service, repentance, and submission. Today, today. Back in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse number 30, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, at this warning that I've commanded you to do, at this watchman work that I've given you to do, the word that I've spoken, that I've told you to speak unto them, to warn them of me. As we read earlier in the chapter, he says, there they are. They speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Here, let's go hear what the word that cometh forth from the Lord is. Let's go hear it. Verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness, what they want. They don't turn. They don't desire righteousness. They don't desire the way of the Lord. They want their way. And lo, Thou art unto them a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Oh, the word of the Lord just sure sounds good. But go on and go off in an unrighteous way. Boy, the preacher sure can preach sweet, but yet go off in an evil and wicked way. Boy, it just really sounds so good, and I'm so encouraged at the services, but in the world, in living through the week, I just can't do it. I just can't follow it. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, the Lord says, then shall they know that a prophet, or that the word of God, has been among them. The Lord said in John chapter 21 to Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter, do you love me more than the way of the world? Acts chapter 2. Hear Peter preaching at the day of Pentecost, and at the end of his message, and what the writer, what Luke, inspired of the Lord to write here, says. Listen, at the end of this message of Peter on this day of Pentecost, where 3,000 souls are saved, in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, he says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, Peter did, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves from the way and wickedness of man. Save yourselves. This word untoward in the Greek is scolios. Have you heard that word before? Scoliosis, a twisted spine. He says, save yourselves from this twisted, perverted generation that you live amongst. Save yourselves and obey the Lord. And that is the warning of the watchman. That's the warning of the Lord to us. We, as the children of God, we don't need to adopt the world into our lives. We need to adopt what Christ says in His book. You that are here this morning without Jesus Christ, the way of this untoward generation, the way of the world will kill you and damn you in that second death in the lake of fire forever if you reject the way of the Lord and His salvation. In Micah chapter 6, the Lord says it in such a great way. Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. Listen. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. The Lord has shown us what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? It's very, very simple, because the Lord knows who He's speaking to. Micah 6, 8. But to do justly. How do we know what is just? From Him. To love mercy. Oh, to love the mercy of the Lord applied to your soul. To love the mercy of God in saving you, to receive Jesus Christ His way and on His terms, and the salvation that He gives again, to be born again of Him, to do justly, to love His mercy for yourself, to love His mercy for others, and to walk humbly with thy God. To walk humbly with the Lord. Not just on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, but to walk all the time with the Lord. Do you and I walk every moment with the Lord? See, if we're walking with the Lord, us desiring Him, He holding our hand, we holding His hand. We're up there close to the Lord, we're not going to want to sin against Him. We're up there close against the Lord, walking with Him every day, walking through life with Him. He's right there beside. We won't want to pursue after wickedness. We won't want to go out of the way. Our hearts will be right and bent and directed towards Him and what He says in His Word. To you that are here this morning and not saved, you're not walking with the Lord. You need to receive Him. You need to repent. Admit to God that you're guilty, that you're a sinner. You deserve that condemnation that's coming your way, that judgment and that punishment. And repent before Him that you're guilty and cry out for His mercy. You know what? He loves mercy. He loves to extend mercy to the repentant. He loves to extend mercy to the submissive. He loves for sinners to walk with Him. Are you a sinner? Do you need a Savior? Jesus Christ is the one.